From the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 36, come these words. Now among those who went up to worship festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came down from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. May God bless these words. Roots are a funny thing. Roots grow in the darkness, underground, hidden from the world, except for a few old trees that are brave enough to put their roots out above the ground and you see the humps. If you pull a plant up and expose its roots, it can be a pretty interesting thing. Roots are ugly, they're dirty. But they are the life source of the plant. And without the roots and without the plant, without the roots and without the dirt and without the icky, there would be no plant. Folks who have a little bit of knowledge of plant-based medicine know that a lot of times the power of the plant is in the root. Echinacea, which is one of those herbs that will strengthen the immune system, it doesn't come from the beautiful purple coneflower or the what we used to call the black-eyed Susans. It comes from the root itself. In order to get to the healing power of those plants, you have to go deep into the root of that plant. You have to actually cut out the roots, cut out that system, and clean it and grind it, and that is what provides the healing power. If you look at a tree and you see its drip line, or, and the, by drip line we mean as far as the leaf on the furthest side to the left and the furthest side to the right. That's your drip line where everything will drip from. Word always had been, or, you know, folklore always said that the roots of the trees are never any less than the drip line. And that's true. However, in many, many, many cases, the roots go far beyond the drip line and far deeper down into the ground in order to draw that nourishment and that strength. If you uproot a plant and you want to plant it again, in very few cases, because there's always that exception to the rule, but in very few cases do you find a plant that can just be stuck back into the dirt and grow again. And even in the cases of the things that can be, for example, the willow, that you can just stick a willow branch in, pare it off, and it will eventually grow, it can't grow until it puts down the root system. And when you propagate a plant, and when you grow a plant from a cutting, people that are gardeners know you have to dip it in what they call a rooting compound. And you have to let the plants grow the roots before you can plant them. As I ask the kids, what are your roots? What is it about your life that if it was cut out, you would not be able to be sustained? Is it your family, your friends, your job, your financial support system, your faith? A combination of all of them, maybe. You see, just like the roots of the plants and just like the roots of the trees, we have to have a strong root system in order for us to be able to grow and thrive and survive. And if you look at someone whose life has withered in many cases, it's because their strength, their root system, has failed them. Either they're not getting enough of the water, the nourishment that they need, be that medical care or love or food or some kind of support. Or maybe they're just not deep enough. Sometimes we put out all these little tendrils, right? And we expect that to support us. But when the wind blows, if those haven't gone deep enough, we go right over with it. Jesus himself used the image of rootedness as a part of a parable. Remember the parable of the sower where he sows the seeds? And one of the things he talked about is the plant that grows up very quickly, but the roots don't go deep. And so at the first sign of a withering sun or a strong storm, they just topple over. We all know false friends or false sense of security that makes us believe that we're rooted, when in fact those roots disappear at the first sign of trouble. When Jesus went up to the festival, these people didn't just want to see a disciple. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to see the man in charge. They wanted to see this Son of God. And so Jesus came and told them good words, said, if you would be my servant, you must follow me. And wherever I go, that's where my servant will go too. It's where my disciples will go too. Serve me. Honor me. Come with me. Death is a part of life. But as human beings, we have a hard time embracing the idea of death. And yet it is the very concept of life. In order for the seed to be created, the plant itself has to wither and dry up and die so that the seed can blow away and be planted and other plants can come up. The kernel has to come off the corn before it can be planted and more wheat and more corn come up. We're afraid of death because we don't know what it will bring. The idea is ugly. It's dark. It's underground. It's surrounded by a lot of mystery. We abhor the concept of death to the point where we will do almost anything to avoid it. And yet, so many people that I talk to who have hit a certain point in life or a certain point in illness say, it's time to go. There's something better. There's something different. I know it. And yet their family holds them tight because what we love, we don't want to lose, do we? We cling to it because that is a part of our roots. And we are afraid to lose our roots. And yet, the part that we miss is that sometimes the strongest part of our root system is the part that is the least visible. The part that you can't see at all. The part that goes deep into the ground and brings up the nourishment. The nourishment that we need to keep us alive. Jesus knew this. He knew that he had to die in order for us to live. And he was afraid. He makes no bones about it. He says over and over again, my soul is troubled. Father, let this cup pass from me. He was afraid. And if he hadn't been afraid, would it have had such a strong impact on all of us? If Jesus had said, oh yeah, I'm going to die, big deal. We would be sitting here as humans saying, well, no big deal for you. You were God. You knew. But even though he is God, he was still afraid and modeled for us that in the midst of that fear, we can get through it because that which is human must die in order for eternal life to happen. The crowds could not handle the concept of a Messiah that would die. The crowds could not handle the concept of a Messiah that would not stay on earth and rule from here in an earthly throne. But the message that Jesus had for his disciples was, I will die and I will be raised up and then my rule will be secure. Then life eternal will come. Then the powers of darkness will have no power. death will have no more power. It will still sting. He never claimed it wouldn't hurt, and that it wouldn't hurt those of us left behind. But he said that the power was gone. All of us have lost people that we love. Some of us in our own congregation face the losses of people we love coming up. And the time is never known to any of us when that will happen. But through Christ's promise, they don't disappear, blown away into nothingness in the wind. Instead, they become those deepest roots, unseen and yet felt every single day. They are our anchors. They are our strength and our nourishment and our promise of everlasting life. They die here, and yet they live on forever in us and in this world and in the world to come. During this Holy Week and the times to come, as our ground, hopefully, begins to warm and blossom and bloom again, we tend to rejoice at the green, at the flowers, at all of the rainbow colors. But this year, look below the surface. Think about the roots, the promise of the resurrection, and the new life that is already beginning, even in the midst of this winter. Amen.